Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let it be. Let our rejoice and rise high. South has the Georgia.
But because we knew God and we could sing and we could hum a song or pray or go to our Bible, go to our spiritual, it carried us over. It was like psychological. It was like our psychiatry. But now we done got so into other folks' stuff that we don't even understand who to lean on or what to do. But the same God that brought us through being enslaved and the same God that have taken care of us all of this time is still there. Don't fool yourself. And don't let nobody make you think it ain't no God. Because there is a God. And everybody I know, they may think they don't like a church, but time something happened in their family, they ask you, can you find a preacher? Can you find somebody to say a prayer? Or when folks are saved from calamity, they'll say, well, we prayed. Very seldom you heard anybody who got saved when they was out there and people found them that they didn't say they didn't pray. So we're going to be talking about two things today. We're going to be talking about how you're going to get what you're going to get. We're going to talk to Congressman Danny Davis, and then we're going to talk. After I take my break, I'm going to call him, and then I'm going to come back, and then we're going to talk to the congressman. I hope he's awake now. I told him I had him at 6:30, and I have the former treasurer, Kurt Simmons, who's going to really be, he knows these numbers. I've been knowing this young man since he was young, when he and Jim Alita was going to school together at Beasley. I always been bright and always knew numbers. That's Sam Patrick's grandson. And he understands a lot of things. So I'm so happy to have Kurt on today to explain and also to take time and have a few minutes to answer your questions at 7. Okay? So this is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. We're streaming live at www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. We're on Blog Talk. We're on some other stuff I don't know. My daughter had an emergency, so she's not here today. But we're going to really be doing that. But let me tell you this before I go off. Folks told me, we're in a democracy, and I told them, we're not in a democracy. We are a republic. To which a republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. We are a republic, and the difference between a democracy and a republic includes the constraints placed in government and how government has sovereignty held by the people. And a democracy, the majority may impose its will on the minority. That's not everybody have equal. That's why we have, and we'll talk about that another day when they tell me they want to stop the Electoral College. So we have that. And whereas in a republic, the majority is unable to take away your ineligible rights. Unlike a republic, a democracy is ruled by the majority and contains no protection for the minority against the power of the majority. A republic, and I want y'all to know that, is a representative type of government, and its goal is to stimulate, simultaneously control the majority while protecting the minority. For example, in the Republic of the United States, the government is limited constitutionally, and the power is divided between the three branches of government. And I have a reason for telling you this. Three branches of government, and a democracy is a type of government that grants eligible citizens the right to equal participation. This right is provided directly through the creation and development of law through elected representatives. The interest of the majority is the most important aspect of the democracy. But in a republic, it's a representative form of democracy. That's why I'm having our representative, Dan Davis, representing Congressman Davis on. A republic has an elected head of state, such as a president, that served for a specific period of time. In a republic, the interest of the majority rules through its elected representative. However, a republic has a constitution that protects the minority from being entirely overruled or underrepresented. And that's why I'm going to have my congressman on, our representative, because actually last week I said, what about our representative? And a lot of stuff y'all be hollering about, the president can do this, the president can do just so much. And really, we have home rule stuff that the governor kind of runs the state of Illinois. Governor Prickster runs the state. And he works in conjunction with our president and our representatives. And so on that, get your coffee, get your tea. I'm going to be gone for 1 minute, and come on back and talk to me, because we're going to talk to our representative of this republic in the 7th Congressional District, Representative Danny Davis. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Here's a message from Midway Broadcasting's chairwoman, Melody Spann Cooper.
Every 10 years, the United States attempts the arduous tasks of counting its citizenry. It's a painstaking, expensive exercise designed to determine how federal dollars are to be allocated. But even more expensive is when people of color fail to participate. African Americans represent more than 14% of America's population. And while the focus in Chicago seems to be on the massive exodus of the city's black residents, it's important to note that in 2018, African Americans were still the largest ethnic group. So while the media continues to focus on black reverse migration, there remains a huge number of us who call Cook County and Chicago home. And we deserve our fair share of federal dollars, programs, and resources. That's why this year's census, more than any other in our history, is the most important, and why African Americans in the Chicagoland area, the county, and across Illinois must participate. Nationally, Illinois ranks in the top 5 states with black congressional representation, with 3 representatives, the Honorable Danny Davis, Bobby Rush, and Robin Kelly, representing our predominantly black districts. Combined, our 3 representatives deliver hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funds and resources to our communities. But with the new census, Illinois may lose a congressional seat. When it's all said and done, pundits will point to the declining black population, potentially leading to the loss of a representative and millions of dollars flowing out of our communities and out of the state. But we can prove them wrong. History has shown that black America has consistently been undercounted. This year, let's overwhelm them in this process by participating at our highest level and insisting that the United States gets it right. The power lies with you. Become family, neighborhood, and community ambassadors in this process. Make sure that you onboard everyone you know. We need the more than 5 million plus of us in Cook County and the nearly 48 million of us across the country to participate in this year's census. America realizes our importance at the voting booth and every candidate vies for the powerful black vote. But when we truly understand our collective power, we will be just as determined to get our census count right as we are to get this year's election right. The consequences for black America is dire in both instances, and we have the power to make a difference. It's our choice to either stand by or stand up. For the 2020 census, let's all rise.
Visit my2020census.gov to participate.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I'm black and I'm proud. How y'all doing? I'm back. Talk of Chicago, 1690. Dorothy Wright Tillman, Coffee Tea, in a conversation with me right here in Chicago with the great WVON. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. I know my sister's not in Carolina. Listen, people listen from all over the country. They're already calling. Some of y'all hang up because I'm not going to go to the phone until after the 7 o'clock hour, so maybe y'all can hang up. But anyway, we're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Blog Talk. If you miss us, you can go back. We're on Facebook. And so we're going to get ready to talk to my congressman. I told y'all last week that my congressman, I know how hard he worked. We go way back. We was fighting for black folks. He know what it is to be loud and say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. So I wanted to talk to him. So we can talk about this package, which is not a stimulus package. It's kind of a Marshall Plan, like a try to help folks. So I said I wanted my congressman to talk about this bill they passed yesterday so that our people can understand what's available to them and things like that. Congressman Davis.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing, Sister Dorothy?
All right, my congressman. I tell folks, they say, I didn't know I said, yeah, Danny Davis, my congressman. And we go way back. In fact, Danny gave me his mama's hat.
You know, I sure did. Absolutely. Her last hat.
You sure did. And I still have it.
I sure did.
I still have it. I appreciate it. Congressman.
Well, it's just been great knowing you, Dorothy, working with you, being inspired. Your inspiration and motivation is so great. I wouldn't normally get up at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. but I've been awake all night, waiting for you.
Thank you, Congressman. I think it's important that our community hear from our representatives to see what they've been doing, because you've been you know, voting and up there fighting. In fact, y'all put some things and it didn't, all of it didn't go through. But what I want to focus on is what's there and how people can access that, because they'll be right hollering about the corona and being hating and all other stuff. The money be gone, Danny. This is $6 trillion. This is a Marshall Plan. So last week I said I don't understand when you're working with your federal partners. Representative Davis, Representative Rush, and Representative Kelly are also federal partners. So I said, let me call my congressman. And I want to thank you for giving me the bill yesterday. I did read it. I read through it, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to let you talk about it, Congressman. The classroom, this is a classroom, so the classroom is yours, and everybody who's listening got a pen and paper, and they're taking notes. Congressman Danny Davis.
Well, Dorothy, first of all, you know, we are facing times unlike anything that we've ever experienced in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. And so every one of us must play our part. And the part that every citizen can play in this is, one, follow all of the protocols. Stay in. Don't go out unless you have to. Don't be in big crowds. Don't be around others unnecessarily. Our office has been open, but we're not seeing anybody.
Right.
I'm saying we have a sign on the door.
I saw it.
Yeah, that we open. But we're open to answer questions. We're open to give people information. And that's what we're essentially doing. So I want to thank my staff.
Yeah.
Not only my staff here, but also my staff in Washington, who played a very significant role in developing this legislation, this bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Congressman, before you go there, because in case we run out of time, I want people in the audience to know where they can log on to get the rest of the information and how to fill out applications from you. Now, where will they go after this is over with? Where will they go? Because
well, they can always call my office. And we have people there who will be able, because there are some things they want to get from our websites and all of those things. But then, of course, there's the business of getting to the nitty-gritty, making sure that you've got your information in.
Right.
That you understand what you may qualify for.
Okay.
And a lot of people qualify for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
State of Illinois is getting $5 billion out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Just the state of Illinois alone.
Now, that's important. $5 billion coming for the state of Illinois to be used for us with no strings attached. Go on.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's split up in such a way that if individuals have been affected, if they've lost their job, they've been furloughed, they've been laid off, they can expect to get $1,200,
$2,400
if they're married, up to people who are earning $75,000. Well, you know, a lot of folks don't earn $75,000. So we got a lot of people who qualify to get unemployment compensation, unemployment insurance. Make sure you call and get your bid in to get your money. If you've got a small business, if you work for a small business, if your business has been laid off, shuttered, closed, restaurant, if you're a contractor, if you work part-time, whichever way you work, if you've been affected, there is money, M-O-N-E-Y, not conversation.
That's right.
But money that you can get. And so make sure that you apply, that you call. Mm-hmm. If you've got a mortgage and you can't pay the rent, then you can get forbearance. You don't have to pay right now. You don't have to worry about losing your house.
Well, hold up. Now, you said if you have a mortgage, you don't have to pay your rent. Now, there's a difference between rentals and mortgage. So you got to explain.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Well, you know, if you got one, you don't have the other one.
So if you got that applies to renters and mortgage people, you're saying?
Renters and mortgage holders.
Okay, now re-explain that over again so they can hear you, because people, that's things people ask me.
If you can't pay rent, then, of course, you can get unemployment compensation that's going to help you be able to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a mortgage and you're afraid of being foreclosed on, you can get forbearance.
Mm-hmm.
You can be late. You don't have to pay it next week. You don't have to pay it. The first checks are really expected to start coming in maybe 3-4 weeks. They're saying 3 weeks, and so maybe 3 weeks, but even if it's 4 weeks, that's not going to be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you start getting them in 4 weeks, you still can catch up. If you've got student loan debt, there's a way you can. You don't have to worry about being guaranteed or foreclosed or money taken that you don't have. You got to apply, though.
You got to apply. And wait, Dan, Congressman. I know what a forbearance is, but for those who might not know, tell them what a forbearance is. A college student uses it all the time, but homeowners might not understand what a forbearance is. Tell them what a forbearance is.
Well, it just means that you can delay.
Mm-hmm.
You can delay. You don't have to say you got something that's due next week as in the norm. Well, if you get forbearance, it may not become due until 6 months from that.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe you've got up to that point to either pay it off, catch up, or be in compliance. And so it means that you've got some additional time.
Uh-huh.
You have additional time.
Right, right.
To, mm-hmm. to pay, mm-hmm. to be in compliance, mm-hmm. and to get what you need in order to remain solvent.
Mm-hmm.
Stay viable.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're getting this money, first of all, and you're going to get it whether you got children. You're going to get it for children, $500 for each child that you've got. And so it's available. It's
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Get every telephone number that you can get. Small businesses have been seriously hurt.
Right.
I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And the technical stuff, the Small Business Administration is geared up. They are ready to take your information, ready to work with you and work through determining what you're eligible for, what you can get. But don't just sit and talk to your neighbor about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying you got to file. If you don't file, then you're not in the queue.
Uh-huh.
So you got to.
So what do they file, Congressman?
What they're going to file is the circumstances of their situation.
Well, where do they file?
My business, the Small Business Administration, for people who have business losses and people who are filing on the basis of their business losses.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Small Business Administration.
Mm-hmm.
The Illinois State Unemployment Insurance, that's going to be filed with the state of Illinois. And so there's a...
But right now, it's going to be filed with the state, but that's money coming from you all, right?
It's money coming through this bill from the federal government, although... There are some states, there are some local governments that are putting in their own programs and their own money.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question for that. Now, if they put in their own money and their own program, do those two things marry or do they stay separate?
They are separate.
Okay.
I'm saying, now, if you've gotten money from one place and you don't need it,
yeah,
and you've gotten taken care of.
Right.
You're eligible for the money. But now, let's not try and get greedy.
I hear you.
I hear you.
But see, one of the things, Danny, we, our congressman, we know that the federal government have no strings attached to their money. And this money is not supposed to be political or anything. It's supposed to be given to help people. And that's one thing somebody asked me the other day, saying, well, you know, when you go get this stuff, it's supposed to be all political. And if you don't know somebody, I said, no, the federal government money is not political. So it's not political. It's about helping.
And even the other money shouldn't be political either. I'm saying,
right.
For example, the city of Chicago is renting a number of hotel rooms to house people who are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a city project that the mayor is putting forth.
Right.
Now, where she gets the money from and all that, that may be a different story.
Uh-huh.
But the fact is that homeless people are going to have a place to go.
Right, right.
And they can have a place to live. Because we got to stop the flow of the virus. I'm saying, we can have all the money. We can have every dime. But unless we contain the virus,
right,
having the money, but everybody being sick and everybody dying, that's not going to help us too much.
But to get well and don't have nothing, it's not going to help. So both of them are very important.
They are indeed, so we got to do both.
Let me ask you another question, Congressman. Someone asked me, what they drive a Lyft and they work for a not-for-profit, that they work two part-time jobs and both of them are closed down. So how do they apply and what do? And they're self-employed.
They apply and they've been affected by the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Both their business has been affected and their individuality. I mean, if I'm working for a not-for-profit, not-for-profits are treated in this like a small business. Many not-for-profits are small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they're small businesses. All the not-for-profit status is that person in business didn't get a profit in terms of taxation, but they work,
mm-hmm,
and they have a business.
Mm-hmm.
You work for a not-for-profit, that's quite all right.
So what do they have to do, a congressman, except people who are driving Lyfts and some of them are driving Ubers and some are just doing stuff to make ends meet? What would they have to give in order to receive some of that?
Well, they've got to be able to prove, at least, you know, that they worked.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, individuals who file income tax, for example, if you filed last year, if you filed the year before last, that's the money that's called the direct money that's coming to you.
Directly to your bank.
That's right.
Okay. Now, somebody told me, Alderman, I owe the government money. Maybe they're not good. I owe my taxes. I owe on the taxes I got to pay. Can they still file even though they owe the government?
They can still file, and that's not going to be taken from them.
Okay.
I'm saying the money that you owe or whatever they other, that's not going to be deducted or taken away. Now, child support, individuals who owe child support, and the child support laws are going to pretty much remain intact.
Yeah, they are.
And so whatever you got to do with that, that's going to remain. But if you got a student loan, nobody's going to take your money to pay off your student loan.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you owe the government income tax from last year, they're not going to take this money and pay that off.
Let me ask one other question in terms of landlords who have people in their buildings. And there are people not paying rent. What do the landlord do?
Well, it depends on the kind of mortgage. If the landlord has a federal mortgage, any kind.
FHA, Fannie Mae,
Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, any of that. There's going to be a 60-day moratorium on foreclosures. No fees, penalties, are interests. And so these individuals are going to be able to have 60 days to get their business straight, to use the money that they get to pay off and catch up and not worry about having to evict anybody or evicting anybody.
Yeah. Now, one other thing, Congressman, because I'm sure this time going by fast. By God, you're giving out so much information. That's why I love you. One other thing, now, people who don't work, so you got a black business and you're working, you're going to get fat. But people who work for you, whether it's a black business or whether it's Cracker Barrel or anybody, what do they do if they're laid off? How do they, what do they do to get money?
They are eligible. They've been laid off. They've been furloughed. They don't have a job. They file for their claim. They file for their unemployment insurance.
Okay. Now, one, what about people? These are things people ask me, so I'm asking you. What about people who maybe say they were, they get assistance, but they in that system, they was in that system looking for a job and was almost about to get a job at every the place that they were working and looking for closed down for right now. Can they also apply
to show? If they can show that they were about to go to work, that they had a job offer, they had a job that they were about to receive and get, they can apply and they can get the benefit.
Now, last thing, what about, I know you got money and I was looking for the arts for not-for-profit. What about that?
There is money for not-for-profits. Of course, you know, not-for-profits play a big role in life in Chicago. The museums, not-for-profit organizations, philanthropic groups and organizations, they are also able to benefit, will benefit, and they can make the applications like anybody and everybody else.
Okay, and where do they go again for those applications?
Well, if you're trying to get unemployment insurance, you know, that's the Illinois Department of Economic Security. If you're trying to get an SBA loan or an SBA grant, of course, you've got a business, and you're going to go to the Small Business Administration for that.
Okay. And the arts go where?
The arts, well, your business.
Okay, I got you. Now, I have one other thing that I'm trying to understand, Congressman. So I think I got it all. I think I might have asked all the questions. Now go on, you got to wrap up for me. I got to have you back in 2 weeks to take questions. My phone is lit up because I told him you was coming, but I thought it was more important that you get the information out. Now we do have money in that bill for the health care too, don't we?
Oh, don't mention it. The hospitals, it's like a Marshall Plan for hospitals. And, of course, you know, we got more community health centers than anybody in the nation.
Right. And how much money did you get for the health center, Congress? I know how you feel about the health.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's $50 billion, I mean, overall.
Uh-huh.
But we've got money for all of the hospitals, all of the health centers, because we got to be able to take care of people.
Right, right.
We got big pieces of money for the historically black colleges and universities, money for what we call PBIs, predominantly black institutions. There is money around, and people have to apply for it because it is definitely there.
Now, when you say, Congressman, that it within our community, that all hands should be on deck to help and facilitate our community to get what they need. Whether you're in business, whether you're an activist, whether you're a church, shouldn't all hands be on deck to be able to facilitate this Marshall Plan?
You know, if individuals, it's like filling out the census form. If you don't fill out the census form, that's on you.
Right.
If you don't apply for this money, that is also on you.
But some folks don't
understand.
Don't
worry about you saying you don't qualify.
Yeah.
Apply and let somebody else determine or tell you whether or not you qualify. Don't let it slide by saying, I don't think I really qualify for this. I don't qualify for that. Make the application. Let somebody else tell you.
Now, what if some folks are working now and have agreed to go, like, on a hiatus, or they have agreed to take part-time? There was full-time, now they part-time. Can they, too, apply?
They can apply, because they are going to receive the cash payment, period, as long as they're not over the threshold.
Okay.
They're going to get that. That's theirs.
But if you got $8,000and the people not paying you now, you still qualify, right? You're not getting a check.
You're not getting a check, and so you qualify and you make an application. And if you don't qualify, somebody will tell you
Okay. You
don't qualify.
Well, Congressman, I have certainly enjoyed you, and we're going to have you back in 2 weeks and to take some questions and to give us an update. And we certainly are glad that you're still in Washington so that our federal partners and our community can come to us and to talk to us. I think he's telling me, do I have to go? Congressman, I appreciate you. Thank you so much, and I will have you back in a couple of weeks, and happy Easter to you.
Well, all right. We'll have a lot of experiences to share.
Okay, and we are praying for Joe Lowry's family. He passed last Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay,
Thank you so much, Congressman Danny Davis, for giving us all of the information. Talk of Chicago, 69WVON. Coffee tea and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, right here at the great WVON. My number is 312-374-8130. We're streaming live on www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We on Facebook, group Facebook. We on Blog Talk if you missed us. We want you to get your coffee, and I want you to get your tea because we're coming back. I'm going to cut some of my stuff with all the stuff I use to play because I want to come back with Kurt. I know y'all are going to get a little upset, but I'm going to cut out my Dr. King and some of the other stuff so that you can get a chance to talk to one of the greatest treasurers we had, Treasurer Kurt Summers, a very brilliant young man. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back at 7 o'clock and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago.
Be able to deliver 50,000 tests per day beginning next week. But here's what experts are saying. You still need protective gear. You still need the proper gloves, masks, gowns, etc. if you're the medical professional who's taking that swab. And so that lack of supply, that shortage all across the country is going to possibly affect the ability to administer all these tests.
President Trump has signed an order giving the Pentagon the power to involuntarily recall to active duty some former U.S. troops and former members of the National Guard and Reserve. Some of those who could be forced to return to active duty are members of the Individual Ready Reserve, who are considered out of the military and rarely recalled. Decisions about which people may be activated still being reviewed. I'm Christopher Cruz. President Trump says he's heard too much from some critical governors.
Most of the governors have been thankful for the help the federal government is providing to fight coronavirus. President Trump said at the Friday evening task force briefing, there are a few exceptions, he said, mentioning Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State and, quote, the woman in Michigan. That would be Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
I don't want them to say things that aren't true. I want them to be appreciative. We've done a great job. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Mike Pence, the task force, FEMA. There's no country in the world could have done what the Army Corps of Engineers has done and is doing.
President Trump and New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo have been doing their best to get along during the crisis. Bob Costantini, Washington.
Mr. Trump has invoked the Defense Production Act to order General Motors to begin making ventilators for coronavirus patients. He said negotiations with the company had been productive, but he said they weren't getting results quickly enough. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
I hate Tom's Tulip Shop. It just smells so flowery. Like we're good at your flower shop. You don't need to remind us.
No matter how hard you work for your small business, online reviewers will find something to complain about.
I needed a fake plant. They don't sell fake plants. Thanks for nothing, Tom.
And while Progressive can't save you from these trolls, we can help you save money on commercial, auto, and business insurance.
Then he says, have a great day. I'll decide what kind of day to have.
Get a quote online today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliated and third-party insurers.
One of the nation's best-known civil rights leaders has died. Correspondent Pat Piper tells us about the life of the Reverend Joseph Lowry.
Reverend Lowry worked with Dr. Martin Luther King, forming the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in 1957. He later put pressure on businesses buying products from South Africa during apartheid. And in August 2013, the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, Reverend Lowry spoke from where it was held, the Lincoln Memorial.
It's even stranger that there are men and forces who still seek to restrict our vote and deny our full participation.
The Reverend Joseph Lowry died at his home in Atlanta at age 98. I'm Pat Piper.
Lowry lived to celebrate a milestone that few of his contemporaries thought they would ever witness, the election of the first African-American president. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Remember when we used to say cut us in or cut us out or nothing about us without us? Well, we need to remember those themes as we embark upon Census 2020 because we've got a lot riding on the outcome. We could stand to lose a congressional seat if too many of us sent this one out, and we could definitely lose a lot of money. Everyone not counted will cost us $1,400 a year for the next 10 years. That's money that comes to our communities for education, transportation, and a host of other essential services. Money that you, the taxpayer, actually put in. So whether you mail in the form, complete it online, or phone it in, take the census. Because we're counting on you to make yourself count. For more information, go to 2020census.gov.
This message is for all of our dedicated WVON listeners who have the best interests of our community uppermost in your minds and hearts. It's census time, and we need to make certain that we get our full count on. Be on the lookout for the form you received in the mail because it's coded for your address, and make sure when you fill it out, you list everyone staying in your household as of April 1st. It takes less than 10 minutes to complete, but the numbers will determine our destiny for the next 10 years. That's right, our legislative representation and the money allocated for all our essential services are both based on the census count. We can't complain about not getting our fair share if we don't count ourselves in. That's why at WVON, we're down for the count, and we need you to make yourself count, too. For more information, go to 2020census.gov.
Coronavirus is here. It's dangerous, and it's changing our lives. We must take it seriously and heed all warnings, no matter our age. This is Dr. Dorian Miller, a host of the Community Health Focus Hour, heard Saturdays, sponsored by the University of Chicago Medicine. Coronavirus is spread by droplets from a cough or a sneeze. Symptoms include fever, dry cough, sinus congestion, sore throat, and even diarrhea. However, if shortness of breath, confusion, or chest pain occur, you may be in danger. If you have any of these symptoms, call your health provider for advice before going to a clinic or emergency room. Avoid taking any home remedies for coronavirus, and always talk to your health provider before taking any medication. At UChicago Medicine, we are working to respond to the needs of our community during this pandemic. Get updated information about coronavirus at uchicagomedicine.org/COVID. That's uchicagomedicine.org/COVID.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable. But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms. Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
You count, so be counted. Visit census2020.chicago.gov. Represent for Chicago. More than $2 trillion federal dollars will be distributed because of COVID-19. And there's more to come from the city and state. So what is your fair share, and how do you get it? WVON will host the most important conversations you'll ever hear on Wednesday, April 1st. Listen as former city treasurer Kurt Summers offers a crash course on the stimulus package. What's in it for you? Listen as Summers breaks down who qualifies for what and what you need to do to take advantage of this bailout. It's the program that every business owner, every taxpayer, and anyone who's been impacted by the coronavirus should listen to on Wednesday, April 1st from 1 to 3 p.m. Hear our history-making conversation on the COVID-19 stimulus package with former city treasurer Kurt Summers. And you, spread the word. It's why America is listening to WVON.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
I don't mind. It really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. God have allowed me to go there, and I looked over and I've seen the promised land. Might not get there with you, but we as a people get to the promised land. Dr. King was talking about if we open those doors, that he just knew. Dr. King thought that all black folks would reach back and do like everybody else and really build community. That's what he meant. I'm going to try to cut a little bit of it today because I want to get into it, but that's what he meant. But everybody said, I got to do my black. It's 7 o'clock, wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. And it's time for you to take that deep breath. Take a real deep breath from the heart to the mind to the brain. It is time to take a deep breath. Come on, Titus. Black, 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 black. For the Trinity, y'all, we got to do it three times. Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you? Maybe 10 seconds of it.
I'm on black enough for you.
Tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation
proclamation. That's the Dr. King I know. That's the one they don't want y'all to know. Come on, Dr. King. We got to assert it for real now. We got to get the language right.
Let anybody take your manhood.
Come on, Dr. King.
Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of.
Don't have nothing to be ashamed of.
Somebody told a lie one day.
Told them you had a dream.
They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms.
That's
of my
teacher.
Black.
That's my teacher.
It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha!
Yeah. I almost didn't play it this morning, y'all, but I knew y'all needed it this morning. I had to play it.
But I want to get the language right tonight.
Y'all would have thought something was wrong if I didn't play that. Yeah.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful. We back, y'all. I went in there with the engineer. I asked him, I said, Titus, maybe we got to cut and go right into to Treasurer Simmons, but I'm so glad we had to stay where we was because I know y'all are listening to the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, 312-374-8130. All our lines are lit up, but I'm not going to no calls. Maybe toward the end I'll take some calls, y'all, because I got to talk to this young brother who I know is proud of being black and beautiful, very smart. We got Treasurer Kurt Summers on the day that we're going to be talking to. But we're streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. We on Blog Talk. If you miss it, you can always go back. And we're talking about, it's not necessarily a stimulus package, but this Marshall Plan that America have put together, this whole Marshall Plan. This, and they call it the rescue package because, you know, sometimes y'all might think jobs are stimulus. But we'll see. And on Wednesday, April 1st at 1 p.m., you can listen for an exclusive history-making conversation on the virus and the rescue package. From City Treasurer Kurt Summers, former City Treasurer Kurt Summers. He would offer a crash course on how you can claim your share of the more than $2 trillion, $6 trillion, when you talk about what we're getting from Mr. Powell, and that is becoming available. Business owners, taxpayers, find out what your share and how you can get it. And that's Wednesday, April 1st, and it's April Fool Day, baby, but it ain't no April Fool. The food is on somebody else. Right here on the Talk of Chicago, WVON, and we think Melody Van Cooper for being able to bring this young, brilliant man on the radio. Because I always thought that former Treasurer Kurt Summers was one of the most brilliant young men I know. And I'm just so glad that he's around now so we can talk about it. And I had Congressman Davis on earlier because he is our partner with the federal government. I was glad to have him on. Treasurer Kurt Summers, we welcome you to talk at coffee, tea, and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. How you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you agreeing to come on this morning when I talked to you earlier in the week. Did you get a chance to listen to the congressman?
I did.
And that was pretty good to bring on the segue into you, wasn't it?
It's a tough act to follow.
No, it's not.
he started the conversation off right, and obviously him and his staff worked really hard to get this monumental legislation passed. So I'm glad that you were able to get him this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you're a finance person. You was treasurer for the city of Chicago, but even before that, you worked with a lot of hedge fund, a lot of funds, money. Jim Lee said you always followed the money from the time y'all was in elementary school. You always knew those numbers. And she said, Mama, Kurt always knew the numbers. And I said, your mother raised you right. And we're so proud of you coming up out of our community. For those who don't know, Kurt Summers is also the grandson of the great Patch. And, you know, Sam Patch was a great person who worked hard with Harold Washington. You can't think of Chicago politics without thinking about him, and I'm sure he'll be proud of you. Kurt, Treasurer Kurt, is it all right if I call you Kurt, Treasurer,
please,
former
please,
Treasurer?
Yeah.
Okay. And I know when you was in, the money you was putting in the banks and the different money you put around, but I want to talk about this package, and it's called the Rescue Package or the Marshall Plan, right?
Yeah, I think about it more like a rescue package and or like a federal aid package.
Mm-hmm.
And the aid is going, you know, from the grass tops to the grassroots. I mean, it's everywhere. It's a blanket approach.
Okay.
To what we need.
Okay. What I'm going to do is we have a conversation in the classroom every Saturday. So you're the teacher today, and you're going to be teaching the class, and we have people from all over the country listening. And I want you to explain this package and what they have to do. But let me, before you go into that, I forgot, I omitted to say that Reverend Joe Lowry passed last night, and I'll be talking to my family in Atlanta later on today. My heart goes out to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference family, for which I am certainly a member, and also his other family and his whole civil rights family and the family in general in our community. Heart goes out, and those of you who are listening to me down south, don't worry, I'm going to call y'all when I get off the air. Okay, go on, Kurt. This is your classroom. I want you to explain to people what the money is, how they do, and all the stuff we were talking about the other day.
Okay, so let's just start with every individual, whether you're still employed or not, whether you are a temporary worker or not, doesn't matter. Your gig economy, your Uber driver, doesn't matter. If you made $75,000 or less last year on your taxes, or you reported it in 2018 on your taxes. If either of those 2 years you made less than $75,000, it's $1,200 per person, $2,400 per couple, $500 per child, and that you'll receive that via direct deposit. And if you haven't yet file, so let's say you weren't eligible in 2018, you are eligible in 2019, you have to file your 2019 taxes, which you don't have to pay anything on until July 15th, by the way, because they extended it, but you submit it so that you can get your check. If you were eligible in 2018, you'll get that automatically in your account. And then that goes up, actually, all the way up to, if you're $99,000 or less per person, $198,000 or less per couple, you'll get up to $700 per person, $1,400 per couple. So that's immediately available starting in the next few weeks.
Well, let me ask you, so they get it, is that the one-time pay, or they get it for four?
No, that's a one-time payment. And so I think that's one of the things, to be honest with you, that is missing here. If you look at other countries, like in the UK, they said they're going to give $2,000 per month.
For 6 months, they said, right?
Correct, for 6 months. And other places, they're giving 80% of your salary for the remainder of the year. So I think we this isn't the last bite at the apple, so that everybody is listening. I think what's going to happen is Congress is going to reassess after we've hit the apex of the health issues in our major cities. As you know, right now, New York is ground zero,
mm-hmm.
and Chicago's not far behind. And they're talking about they're now going to turn McCormick Place into a 3,000-bed hospital system. New Orleans is not far behind. Atlanta is already at capacity.
I didn't know Atlanta was like that.
Yeah, Atlanta's already reaching their hospital capacity. And New Orleans, Louisiana, I think, has the fastest growth per capita of cases in the country right now. And I think that if you think about it, what's going to happen is over the next several weeks, our major cities, especially New York, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, Houston, which is also growing in cases, New Orleans, Atlanta, D.C., these places are going to each reach their apex like a wave, a set of waves over the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. And I think as that happens, Congress is going to reassess and say, okay, we've gotten this initial money out there. Here's how much aid is gone. Here's how much is still needed. Where is the economy? And I believe, and most economists believe, that they're going to have to go back. So we talk about this $1,200 per person, $2,400 per couple, plus $500 per child. I don't think that that's going to be the end of it, because I think they're going to have to go back. And I think the thing that's going to drive them to go back is small businesses. So let's talk about what's going to small businesses.
Okay.
There's two programs for small businesses at the federal level, and there's programs at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
At the federal level, they have what's called the Disaster Relief Program through the SBA. Now, that's a low-interest SBA loan. It's 3.75% interest if you're a business, 2.75% if you're a nonprofit.
Okay.
And they basically decrease the credit limits on it, and they make it immediately available. What they just passed, so that happened because every state, like Illinois did, that declared a disaster, now makes themselves available for disaster relief, and that's a form of disaster relief. Now, what they passed and signed yesterday has what's called paycheck protection loans.
Now, what is a paycheck? What is that?
Yeah, so now that's a new type of loan by the SBA that's entirely guaranteed. What that means is the SBA will give you up to the next 4 months of your rent, mortgage, payroll, and utilities. If you're a small business, and small business has a big definition, so you could be, a $20 million business, a $30 million business, a $50 million business, still be a small business under the SBA, all the way down to you are a sole proprietor, you have an LLC, and you do some consulting on the side. Okay, that's the wide range that's available for you.
What if you just cut trees or cut, you have a,
if you,
a small
if you
pool
have
you do
if you
landscaping.
Have an LLC, and that LLC was in place February 15th, by February 15th, if it was already in place, then you're eligible. Doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter how big it is. And you could say, hey, look, I was impacted, and here was the income that I expected to have, or the payroll I expected to have, or whatever, over that period of time. Here is my rent, mortgage, and utilities that is attributable to my small business, meaning like if you do it at home, the portion of your home that you write off for your taxes, all of that can now be paid for the next 4 months. Now, it's a loan that comes from a bank, but what's happened is they said, okay, we're going to take away there's zero collateral requirements, there's zero credit requirements, there's no personal guarantee, and you don't have to pay back any interest for the next 6 to 12 months, and the interest is capped at 4%. And we, the federal government, will pay back the principal. So you don't even have to pay back the principal. Okay, this is truly, to your point about a Marshall Plan, this is a grant. Here you go, 4 months of all of your key expenses. All you have to do is pay up to 4% interest only, not principal,
So wait, hold up so I can make sure. So you're saying if you get it, you don't have to pay it. It become a grant, really. You just pay the interest.
You just pay. So you get $100,000. Instead of paying back $100,000, you have to pay back. The max that you have to pay back is $4,000, and you don't have to pay that back until 6 to 12 months from now.
Okay. Now, and do they have – and they have to – what if they – I know it's a couple of folks who got some landscaping where they be doing people's yard. And they have a business, and then sometimes they just hire the folks from the neighborhood, get some of the young men to keep them working.
Yeah.
How do they operate? Because maybe they just get some of the young men, their business, but they got some of the young men that's working with them that wouldn't necessarily work, and they're just paying them and not really giving them a big salary. How do they operate?
Yeah, what you have to do is just establish that you have had a payroll like that in the past. So that's a seasonal business, right?
Okay.
Anybody
uh-huh.
that's a seasonal business. You would say, look, last year, here's how many people I employed. Here's how much that cost. This summer, you know, which is over the next 4 months, I plan to do the same thing.
But
right?
Most of them also do snow.
Okay, well, then even better. Then, mm-hmm. then you can say what it was, you know, during the snow season this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this is a conversation that is, you know, with your bank. So what you can do is you can work with one of the state's small business development centers, which you can get on their website at illinois.gov/DCEO. And if you go on that website, you can go to one of the small business development centers. But if you already have a bank relationship, you already have a bank that you do some, even if it's just checking,
mm-hmm.
if you have a business relationship, if you've never been extended line of credit or anything, but you just have, maybe you do have business checks that you have just for your LLC, because it's a good thing to have that separate from your personal checking. If you have that, whoever that bank is the first place to start.
Okay.
Because they have a mandate from the federal government now. $350 billion was given to the SBA, and the SBA is giving it to banks to make these loans, and they're being told, you better get these loans out the door right away. Now, I think what's going to happen, and many people in the industry believe what's going to happen, is that's not going to be enough.
It's not going to be enough.
How many small businesses are going to be out there, right? We had $500 billion in this package that went to three or four industries. You got $350 billion for every small business in America.
Wait, now, those industries they went to was the airline, the hotels, and things like that, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Okay.
So you've got a situation where you have every industry that's in small business has to participate in this $350 billion. It's not going to be enough. So what I would say to your listeners is start now.
Mm-hmm.
Any small business that I talked to, I told them this week, call your bank.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your bank how you're doing. Tell your bank that you plan to do this. Give them a sense of how much you're going to need so they can start thinking about how to allocate to you based on the piece that they're going to get.
Okay, let me ask
you. Yeah.
Go on, finish. Go on, finish.
No, I was going to say, and again, just like the question about is $1,200 one time enough per person? No, it's not.
No.
Neither is $350 billion, but it's first come, first serve. And you need to get after it now. And then I believe that a month from now, we'll be talking about another addendum or additional package that's coming.
Well, you know, Kurt, I watched Treasurer Summers. I watched the whole debate of it in the Senate and in the House of Representatives on C-SPAN. And they kept saying we're going to have another round four, another bite at the apple. Even when the president signed the bill yesterday, I watched him sign the bill. He admits that they're going to probably have to come back and let them get through. I saw Speaker Pelosi said they might have to get another bite at the apple. So you're probably correct. Now, what about these arts and not-for-profit people? How do they deal with their banks? If they're losing revenue, say if you got folks who had contracts for people to come in, and now these folks are moving their contracts, you know you got last year, a year before, that's how much money you usually make from this. What do they do? They're separate. They're not for profit. Mm-hmm. Are they with the arts? How do they do it?
No, so that I think that's perfect. And so let me add. I think actually the nonprofits are in the best possible situation in this entire thing. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
They have more resources that are now going to be available to them than anyone else in this entire picture.
How?
So the paycheck protection piece of the legislation that I just talked about that's coming through the SBA,
mm-hmm.
through those loans, that applies for small businesses, 501c3s, anyone who doesn't have more than 500 employees, okay, which is the size standard for the SBA, whether you're a nonprofit, for-profit, doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
it applies to you too. So that same thing that I just said is effectively a grant from the federal government. Is, you know, nonprofits are explicitly written in there as being eligible, which is fantastic.
So they'll do the same thing with their bank that you was telling the business
folks
to do.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Every nonprofit. And you look, I'm going to be really clear. In our community, we have high employment through nonprofits, right?
Right.
Nonprofits and government are big employers of ours, and they're big clients of ours. And I think that the nonprofits need to hear this, that when the federal government stimulus and when the aid package is talking about small businesses, they're talking about you too.
Mm-hmm.
The money that's available at the city, state, federal level all is applicable to you, as well as new donor funds that have been created for this purpose. So
wait, you got some donors who set up something just for this purpose of helping the not-for-profit?
Correct. There's one that's a Chicago-based one was created by Mayor Lightfoot, and then there's another one that's an Illinois-based one. Sorry, the Chicago-based one was not created by Mayor Lightfoot. It was created by the Chicago Community Trust. So if you go to cctcharlietango.org, it's the first thing on their website. Okay, the Chicago COVID-19 Response Fund. And then for the state of Illinois one, which was led by our governor, J.B. Pritzker, and is being chaired by his sister, fellow billionaire, former U.S. Commerce Secretary Penny Pritzker, and that's ilcovidresponsefund.org. So what a nonprofit can do is they can apply to the city one, they can apply to the state one, they can apply to the SBA program that we just discussed.
Uh-huh.
They also may be eligible for the city of Chicago's separate fund. So the city of Chicago itself also created a new small business resiliency fund, which took $50 million from the Chicago Catalyst Fund that I created when I was treasurer.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that fund. Say that. Tell them about that fund. Remember that fund you created that was sitting there. What was the name of it again?
The Chicago Catalyst Fund.
Okay.
So we created that for precisely this moment. We created it because we said, look, small businesses, local nonprofits, will have a need in the coming future, and they had a need then, frankly, but they had a need then, and we'll have one for the next several years, and that need is going to be need to be addressed directly by the city. So the mm-hmm. city has to have. So we put aside $75 million. One of the last acts I had in office was to protect that money so that it couldn't be used in a budget deal, or could be used to plug a budget hole in the way that all the other money, the parking meter money, the Skyway money, all that other stuff has been used.
Mm-hmm.
We cartoned that off and protected it so that the city could use it only for this purpose.
Now, dude, is that up under Melissa Perry? Is that under Urban, or is that under the mayor?
Well, what they did was the Catalyst Fund is under Treasurer Urban, Conyers Urban, but
okay.
But they took $50 million of that Catalyst Fund, I'm sure with the treasurer's permission, they took $50 million of that Catalyst Fund and said, we're going to put it into this new Small Business Resilient Fund. So that money effectively seeded the $100 million that's now going to be available for this moment. And that Small Business Resiliency Fund is controlled by the mayor's office. The mayor's office also put another $25 million in, and they raise another $25 million from other financial partners. Now, here's the key there. All you have to do to qualify for that is have less than $3 million of revenue. Again, if you could be a nonprofit and have revenue, right? So you have less than $3 million of revenue and fewer than 50 full-time employees.
Well, do they go make you jump through the political hoop that they usually make you do with stuff they have, like this, all other stuff
Look,
they be having? Is there a political hoop with that?
I think if they did, it would be at their own political peril, because people need this money now, and the last thing that we need is another bureaucracy. What I can tell you is this: applications are starting to get received on Monday, or Tuesday, starting the 31st. Applications will start to be received on Tuesday. And if you just Google Chicago Small Business Resiliency Fund, because the website that they have is not a simple one, it's a long one, but if you Google Chicago Small Business Resiliency Fund, you'll find in the first one or two things that sort of pop open. And I think they are in earnest. They're asking for people to go on there now, share your information now, even before the application is up there, so you can be pre-registered in the queue. I think that's going to make things happen more quickly. But if you think about a nonprofit, so now a nonprofit can do the Chicago Small Business Resiliency Fund. They can do the Chicago COVID Response Fund, the Illinois COVID Response Fund, the SBA Disaster Relief Fund, and the SBA Paycheck Protection. And more than that, Congressman Davis said, hey, look, we got $5 billion in this bill going to governments. Well, the most governmental agencies have nonprofit partners that assist them in administering their business, whether you're talking about the schools, hospitals, even the transit authority. Okay, you got you got over $1 billion going to CTA Metro and Pace. You got $1 billion going to the schools. You got $100 million going to the hospitals. And we have significant capital going to our major public institutions. And if you are a nonprofit or you are a business that serves any of those institutions, including the airports or whatever, now is the time to talk to your partner, your client, the schools, the hospital, the transit authorities, the airports, whomever it is, and say, hey, look, you know that program that we do for you? Well, we've been out of that for the last couple of months. We'd like to have a piece of that going forward. And I think there's a great opportunity there for nonprofits as well as small businesses.
Well, he said that this is not supposed to be political. It's supposed to be based off of need. Now, and that's what I really like, because a lot of folks was calling and they was kind of concerned that they had to go through some political hoops and all that. I don't think so. That's why I knew that you would explain this. Let me ask something else, and then I might try to take a couple of calls because my phone lit up all morning. But I told them I wasn't going to take it, but this phone. People who work for somebody.
Yeah.
I'm talking. First, I'm going to deal with this little small business. I'll just take something like a place like Peaches or Pearls, Waffles, Chicken and Waffles, MacArthur's, okay?
Yep.
Now, if they had to close, and what do they do to be able to pay? Maybe they can't even afford to pay their workers up front, even though the government's supposed to reimburse them as they pay their workers, right? Would you explain that to me?
Yeah, so what happens is, you will get this part of this reason why you're eligible for this money is that so that you can bring those workers back. Let me just refactor that really. We didn't talk about unemployment, but if you were a worker and you were unemployed, the two big things for you are you get whatever your existing unemployment insurance was going to get you, you're now going to get $600 more per week in the state of Illinois for 4 months. That's really important. So because it, for a number of people, I think, it's sort of median income folks. If you were laid off or you were terminated, that $600 a week might be the equivalent of what your benefit was.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're getting double that. And that's a significant thing. You're getting it for 4 months, and your total unemployment insurance instead of being there for 6 months, they're now adding for 13 more weeks, effectively, you know, 3 more months. So you get now 9 months of unemployment, and the first 4 months of that, you're getting another $600 a week. So this is, I think, actually very, very significant.
So that goes into also the Uber drivers, the Lyft drivers.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
Now, some of the not-for-profit have folks where they don't have, like, an out-and-out payroll. They have them on contract, where they contract them out, or say you got somebody working there, but they're contract out to how do they deal with that?
It depends. Like, are they a 1099 employee or not?
Mm-hmm.
Are they contracted out? Do they set up a little personal LLC or not?
Okay.
It really depends on those individual situations. But I think that in most cases, even if you are not a traditional employee, if you are a temporary, like this thing explicitly covers, if you're a temporary worker, if you're a part-time worker, if you're a 1099 worker, and if you are a gig economy worker, an Uber driver, Lyft driver, whatever, all of those are applicable here. Now, to your point about restaurants, there's another thing that was done for the restaurants, which is the state of Illinois created a hospitality emergency grant program that's just for small hospitality businesses, and I think it's up to $50,000, just immediate grant now.
Okay.
So if you have,
so you're saying peaches and waffles and macarons and all of them can go to the hospitality grant.
Every single one of them right now, and I would do it right now.
And let me ask you something else. We have like
$50,000.
And say if you got like a, I'm just using a Parkway ballroom because it's in the not fussing me. Say you got a ballroom that you rent out. That's considered hospitality too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, now, that's good. We had no idea that. Now, I think I've covered everything. Did I miss anything?
There's one thing we haven't discussed. I just want to add, a lot of people don't know about, but and it's in the space of housing. The city of Chicago, if you were laid off, is providing up to $1,000 per person that are going through hardship right now. And it's also first come, first serve. They're going to do this for several thousand families.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look that up. You know, it's, again, not an easy thing to just look up, you know, Chicago Housing Assistance Grants, okay? So they have these housing assistance grants, $1,000 per person right now. That's on top of everything else that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Congressman Davis talked about the eviction protection of a landlord for a mortgage, and it's at least 60 days, but it's up to 120 days, and that's if your landlord has any federally backed mortgage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that means, you know, you shouldn't be able to be kicked out if that action is happening to you. What I would do is I would call, you know, one of that same housing assistance program. They have hotlines. The city of Chicago has hotlines for their housing assistance program, and those people will make sure your landlord cannot evict you. And if for your own mortgage, the forbearance that's in this thing is 180 days. So you have 6 months of forbearance that goes in place. And by the way, it automatically triggers if you don't make your payment on the 31st day for your mortgage. Now, after that, you need to call your lender, but you have 6 months of forbearance on your mortgage through this program.
And
this,
okay, these
I think we covered everything.
Well, what about the landlords? I know landlords, some of them got, okay, those who got the tax credit, they automatically, and they got folks, so they'll get their money back from the government from the tax credit, plus they'll get reimbursed from what the tenant had to pay too?
Exactly. So the landlord also qualifies under this forbearance. They get this 180 days too, right?
Explain
so
that.
So the landlord, if you have a mortgage, and a lot of landlords, especially with multifamily housing, have some amount of federal, whether it's tax credits or federal, you know, lending that came into the package for them to be able to own that building.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, they get that same 180 days of forbearance. Now, think about it. If you're a landlord, you're actually not in a bad position here.
No, you're not.
You're going to get 180 days of forbearance. And the max that your tenants can get without eviction is 120 days. mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got 60 days that even if you don't get paid from them, from your tenants, but, you know, where you can evict and then and try to get a new tenant. So you're the landlords are actually, you know, are going to be in a decent place here.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get income directly, but they won't have to give up their buildings. And they could if they have a tenant that just can't get back to work or can't make ends meet or has his family has just had a terrible situation with this whole health issue side. They can still figure that out, and they have the time to figure that out.
And they get some money from the government, too, right? Let me ask you, like a lot of folks, and then I'm going to go to the phone, take a couple of calls. This line is low. Kurt, now, you know, your generation, y'all like to live in the South Loop and all around everywhere, your generation. and a lot of them listen to me. And a lot of those buildings that was built was really built with some tax credit federal dollars where they have to have a certain amount of based off your income. Now, those buildings qualify, too, don't they?
Right.
You know what I'm asking?
So the vast majority, if you think about when the South Loop was built out, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when that started to get built out, look, you know as well as anyone, Alderman, that the South Loop was, you know, train tracks.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
The South Loop wasn't what it is today. And so in order to get that built out, there was a lot of federal dollars that came through state and city agencies that backed the buildings of those buildings being built,
mm-hmm.
and were used to create the leverage to build those things. So what I would say is, if you are in a position where you are a renter in one of those buildings, there's a decent likelihood that some amount of federal subsidy, tax credit, or federally backed lending was used to support you if you are a renter.
Yeah.
If you're a renter and you're afraid that something's going to happen to your building, I would call, you know, there's like 8 different agencies. There are regional agencies for housing assistance for the city of Chicago, rental assistance. I would call one of them and say, this is my situation. Can you look up my building to see if I'm protected? And they'll look that up for you. Now, if you are in a condo or something.
You going out, Kurt.
Can you hear me?
You was going out.
Sorry, I'm saying if you are in a condo in the South Loop, then you have to look up and see if your mortgage for your condo is federally backed or not.
Okay. Now we
and
do.
If it is, then you have the 180 days of protection.
Okay. Now we do know that a lot of folks living in those buildings don't even know because that some of those buildings was built with federal dollars. Because when they built with federal dollars, they just have to have so many, they put so many folks in and they get market rate. Kurt, let me try to take a couple of calls before I have to go.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't need no loan. I just need you to ask the question. Lawrence.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine, Lawrence.
Okay, hey, first I'm going to say 2 questions. Number one, would the seniors get in that money?
Ask both questions and hang up. Would the seniors get the money? What else?
And self-employed.
Well, I did address the self-employed. Okay. I addressed that earlier. Okay. Just keep listening. Let me get Maurice to write it down, Kurt. Maurice, what's your question?
Yeah.
Write that down. What's your question, Maurice?
Hey, good morning, Dorothy. You know, when this virus became...
What's your question?
This virus, yeah, you made me think about words you said of God...
Now, what's your question, Maurice? Because I ain't got but 4 and 5 minutes. What's your question?
Okay, thanks, Dorothy. Kurt, which agency specifically would we apply to get the student loan payments deferred?
Okay, thank you. So, thanks, Maurice. So, you got the 3 questions. Can you answer them real quick so I can get a couple more, Kurt?
So the answer is for the seniors, the answer is yes, provided you have... you know, filed any taxes in the last 2 years, you're eligible to receive the benefit. Self-employed, I think you already addressed. They are included absolutely in the bill. Any form of self-employed, whether you're 1099, gig economy worker, whatever, which agency for the student loan, it would be through Sallie Mae. But it's only the student loans that are federally backed, which would be Sallie Mae loans. So I would go on the Sallie Mae website and then they'll guide you from there.
Okay, Frank. What's your question, Frank? Oh, is Frank there?
Oh, this is Harold.
Harold, what's your question? I had saw Frank.
I'm a bit perturbed at our good.
What's your question? I don't want to hear no. I want to know your question.
My question is, how do you get GM Bank?
Oh, Harold Lucas, how do you get what?
African Americans in our community when we put our
okay,
money
bye.
There,
hang on. Okay, bye, bye,
money.
Bye, Harold. I'm not gonna let you do that to me. I think that's very unfair. Now, who's on number one? Is that Frank? Let's talk to Lee. Lee.
Yes, how you doing, Dorothy, and
right.
your guest? If you change banks, do you call IRS and give them your routing number to another bank, or what do you do with that if you change
yes,
banks?
Yes, you do. If you change banks, have you filed this year or not already? Have you already filed your taxes?
Yes, but I just changed banks, though.
Yeah, so I would definitely call them just to make sure that they know. It should be in whatever arrangements you made when you filed your taxes. But I would, if you have any question or any doubt, I would say, hey, I would call them up at the regional office, and I would say, I just want to make sure you know where to send my check and give them that information.
Well, let me thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Are they still sending those who people like me who have already filed my income taxes do with all this virus, are they still sending out the checks? Your income tax checks? Is that still going
That's
on
correct.
Here? Okay.
That's correct. So it's either going to come to you. It depends on how you designate it.
To the bank, but I didn't know what they were still doing with all this other
yeah.
stuff going on.
Yeah, what they're trying to do is have it be direct deposit to every tax filer in the United States.
Okay, well, I have a direct deposit. Reverend Motherspoon, what's your question?
Would the people getting the money in the nursing home?
Okay. Hold on, Reverend. He wants to know if people getting the money in the nursing home, Kurt.
Well, I think the answer is if you receive Social Security, then you have income and you are a U.S. citizen, you are covered here. So the answer to that is yes. You don't have to be working a job for this to have impacted you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is impacting everyone and every family. And frankly, I think that the seniors who are most susceptible to, not catching the illness, but having, difficulty with this illness should be, at the front of the line. And I think that any U.S. citizen who is on the registry is having had income or having paid taxes either way is eligible and will receive this money.
Okay. T, what's your question?
Hey, what's up? I got a niece, and she's living in another state right now, but she got laid off from her job. I think it's a part-time job, but they gave her a tentative date that she can probably return back to work.
Well, okay, I got
you,
T. She can get the same.
Does she still qualify for – does she still can receive the stimulus or whatever you call it, checks that can come?
Yeah. Okay, hang up. Yeah,
yeah,
I think so. Sure, she can. Because
yeah.
This is federal.
Of course she can. Of course she can. But she could also still, she should be getting, even though she has a date to come back right now, she should still be getting current state unemployment benefits, which just increased by $600 per week. So if that date to come back isn't until a month from now, she needs to get that extra $600 a week right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kurt, this has really been, okay, I got 3 minutes. I'll take one more call. I don't know. You want me to take one more call or just get ready to go? Okay, man. Kurt, well, you want to sum this up because no more calls. You've been just awesome. I know that you're going to, on Wednesday, April 1st, which is not April Fool, it's going to be April Knowledge. The April Fool ain't going to be on us. It's going to be on somebody else. You're going to be talking, listening for an exclusive history-making conversation. This is going to be history-making. You're going to be talking about the virus and the package that they're putting together. We're looking forward to having you here. You're gonna offer. They said you're gonna offer a crash course on how you can claim your share of the more than $2 trillion, but it's really $6 trillion, isn't it, Treasurer Simons?
No, that's right. I mean, what they do, just to explain that to the folks, what they did was they gave the Treasury Secretary $500 billion, and then they told the Federal Reserve he can lever that up to $4 billion from the Federal Reserve. So really, it's you know, is $6 trillion in total, and $4 trillion of that is to help make sure our big employers largely get have the resources to keep people employed and that our mortgage industry doesn't collapse, and so that we continue to have, you know, those mortgages circulating in the capital markets.
Okay, well, our former treasurer, Kurt Summers, we enjoyed you when you was treasurer. You did so much. Are we looking forward to hearing you on VON on Wednesday? I hope, Melody, to keep you a little longer because you got so much knowledge to share with us. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge today, and I will be listening to you Wednesday, former treasurer.
I appreciate
Kurt,
you.
The former treasurer, Kurt Summers. Thank you, y'all. I have tried to. How many minutes? I got 1 minute? Okay. You can do reparations under real low. Just do reparations real low up under me. I try to give you information so that you can know what to do and don't be sitting around here worried. I was going to play Our Father, but I best I play it next week by Marvin Gaye. We have to pray, y'all. We don't have to sit around here and be scared. I don't believe that we're going to be at Epic Center. I don't think we're going to get nobody else. I saw last night where they was talking about a promising drug that really played promising with the Z-Pack and whatever the other stuff was. They gave it to 8 folks who was critical, and they snapped back. God is in the blessing business. You don't let God be your psychiatrist and let him be your guide. Let me tell you, tomorrow, listen to my pastor at Liberty if you need some guidance. But God is your guide. We're going to be all right. God got this. We got this. But without faith, without work, meaningless. You can't be lazy. God said, you make one step, I'll make two. So I'm calling all of you to make that first step. And I think the Congressman Danny Davis and I think former Treasurer Kurt Summers. Also, you know, when you talk about the state, the city, we do have representatives from those places. We have senators, state senators, and we have state representatives, and we have city government, too. So maybe next week some of my colleagues will have some of them on to talk about what's available from the state. Thank you, Governor Pritzker, for the money you gave, and thank you, Lori Lightfoot and President Trump for all that you all are doing to help us. Dorothy the right, Tim, and until next week, saying reparations now. Look like they got it, y'all. Look like they're repairing the damage. Now, I told y'all the government had the ability to launch a Marshall Plan. Don't be emotional. Make that first step. God bless.
Of language, culture, and religion, of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands, God bless us, forced to be a field hand by a white man.